With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for the Falcons Report.
Whoa. Casey got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Grady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Coming your way live from our mobile Kia studios on a beautiful Monday. Boy, there is a lot going on. Redskins officially get rid of the name Washington Redskins. Get rid of the name Redskins. We've got stuff going on locally with Atlanta United, who played over the weekend. Mike and I have been talking about it. We actually had a match. We had competition to talk about. We had Jason Longshore on earlier today, who said things actually got better as the match went along. We'll continue that conversation coming up as part of our Strong Arm Story of the Day in about 15 minutes. And coming off some vacation time, man. And I said, you know, today it was weird, Mike, simply because it's the first time we've actually had a chance to drive to various places. You know, usually we're lucky we're flying somewhere or trying to get away. And a lot of people aren't doing that. You know, people are doing a lot of Americans are doing right now, and that's driving to places that they may not visit normally. And I know that's something you guys did. You know, you didn't have your normal 4th of July routine, but it was cool for some different scenery, a change of scenery. I ran into some listeners as well in some different states, which was kind of cool. I didn't expect it drinking the same man ale, and so on. But overall, I think most people are trying to be, you know, safe and not be in space and respecting that, but also being kind of courteous. I will say that. I thought, you know, just being, it's the first time we as a family have been out in mixed company like that. We've done a whole lot of that since the start.
Hey, man, we'll get Carl re-fired up on the digital line because he became Spaceman Carl there for a second. It happens. We've had really good luck in the last couple of months broadcasting from home, normally inside our Kia studios, as we were live here in the city, and then Carl up there in the burbs. But we'll just get that digital line renegotiated. But, yeah, Carl, just to echo Carl's point, we would love running into you guys when we're on the road. It was funny. I mentioned being on the golf course up in Asheville at the Grove Park Inn, and I miss a shot like I'm apt to do, and I go, son of a biscuit, and I'm paraphrasing. And a guy from the fairway over goes, hey, is that Mike Bell? He comes over with his dad. I believe it was his dad in the cart. We chatted up for a few minutes. It was really cool. So we always get a kick out of that. But yeah, it's kind of a throwback to the old-fashioned family vacation, you know, in the family truckster, getting out and doing the thing. Falcon Report, speaking of family time, get it together tonight and make it a Domino's party. Whether you're watching soccer over the weekend, you're watching golf, we'll cover all that stuff coming up in Guy Talk. But the Falcon Report brought to you by Domino's, medium two-topping pizza, just $5.99. Minimum two per order, guys, when you get that hooked up. It's a great deal. Get all the details when you go to dominoes.com. But yeah, man, the Falcons, all Falcon team came out. We're going to dive into that because Squid got a little bit mad at me last week because I was being, well, me? Snarky? Never. Yeah, but I was kind of joking around. When you go back and you look at some of the teams that we had in the decade, this is the all-decade team, so that's for those from Noonan, that's 2010 to 2020. And then you go back, you win, you know, five trips to the playoffs, and you've also made, you know, not made the playoffs 5 years, Carl. I'm talking about the all-Falcon team for the decade.
Yeah.
And, you know, when Vic Beasley is on an all-decade team, that shows you just how up and down your pass rush was. I mean, it's not a knock, but, I mean, guys like Curtis Lofton, there's guys that, you know, they had one contract here, and there were injuries like Sean Weatherspoon. It's a shame, but it just goes and shows you just how, I guess, some of the, it's not a knock on the guys. You're going to come up with the best 10 players from your era. That's what they were asked to do. But it just shows you how uneven the Falcon team was this decade.
Yeah, and before I was cut off there, and I apologize for that, I was just simply saying, you know, being on vacation and people respecting your space and people being safe, which gets us back to this whole coronavirus conversation we're having, but we'll continue that. Mike, I'll say this. For a guy like Vic Beasley, he wasn't here for a year or two. And even though we were underwhelmed with the overall performance, he was here for 5 years. And that fifth year was, you know, the option, which we debated that they shouldn't have picked up. But I don't think you could argue with him being a part of a few playoff teams and ultimately a team that went to the Super Bowl that he should have been on this squad. Let's go back and look at the D-line. You're talking about Jonathan Babineau, John Abraham, Vic Beasley as the D-lineman. Obviously, Grady is on there. And for me, we had an opportunity to vote for these guys. The only person I didn't vote for, believe it or not, was Vic Beasley. And maybe that was my personal bias with the way that things ended. But when you look at it, who was better during the day? I mean, was there somebody definitively better over the five-year period that he was here for half the decade?
No, I mean, that's therein lies, you know, part of the problem. I mean, you had such an inconsistent pass rush. I said this to Will on Friday, Carl. To me, it further just, you know, just sort of it displays how finesse we are. You know, we don't do a particularly good job of getting after the quarterback, and we don't do a really great job of protecting the quarterback. Now, there were individual performances, but when you have to consider guys like Schrader, who was part of that Super Bowl run, I mean, it's a byproduct for me of having to plug in free agents because you just don't consistently draft well on the offensive line, and you don't particularly draft pass rush well on the defensive line for a guy like Vic, who had one great year, and then, you know, the last year, you know, again, without the, you know, for whatever reason, the contract was picked up, you know, 8 sacks. It just shows you that, for instance, if you took the Falcon All-Decade team to another city, other fans would know half the guys on that roster.
No, I agree. I don't disagree. Linebackers, Deion Jones, Curtis Lofton, Sean Witherspoon. Spoon and Deion, no-brainers. Curtis Lofton, you could debate that if you wanted to. But again, I would ask
who else are you going to put on there? Paul Warlow or Joplo Bartu? That's the argument, right?
Yes, it is. And I was going to say, who else has been dominant? When I say that, you're talking about a guy that had a 3-4-5-year run here. Well, Curtis Lofton was that guy. I mean, so I don't have a problem with that. The secondary, Mike, Desmond Trufant, Robert Alford as your corners, okay? Safeties were Brett Grimes, Willie Moore, and Ricardo Allen. I voted for all of those guys, to be honest with you, when I was looking at this. Because, again, the draft picks you spent on Trufant and Alford, I know they are not here, you know, but the fact is, these were guys that helped you get to a Super Bowl. And I thought, again, you can talk about their play being uneven or however you might want to describe it. But the investment for what they gave us, they were arguably, for the decade, the two best corners we had.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I would disagree with, even though he was only here for 3 years of the decade, and unfortunately the numbers kind of, you know, I got to be honest, we're solid every year for this guy when he was in a Falcon uniform. John Abraham's a guy, you know, that's a guy that, you know, if he had a little more charisma, potentially, Carl, could be, you know, getting consideration for Hall of Fame when you look at how many sacks he's got. Unfortunately, you know, he left the Jets, came to us, but I mean, that's a guy for me. I think John Abraham's a guy that, yeah, that's awesome. But he's only here for 3 years. And after that, Vic Beasley's the best you could come up with.
Yeah.
That's why he went to the playoffs. And again, remember some of those playoffs, 2010, we lose in the first round. Our first round, it was a division round. We had a bye against the Packers. 2011, we had a terrible game, a loss to the Giants. The only thing we had was a safety. But I mean, that's, even though, you know, you did make the playoffs, two of those were first round exits. So to me, it's when you get into this kind of discussion, this is why we get back to the personnel department and all those things that I yell at you and you argue and you get sick and tired of me yelling it about and talking about the offensive line. We're talking about defense here, but I mean, to me, the proof is in the pudding. We've drafted a bunch of guys either couldn't stay healthy or they were so good they're no longer in Falcon uniforms, right? I mean, they've moved on.
So it's defense all decade, and again, you know, we got a chance to vote on this. There's various other people who voted on this, and then special teams. Special teams, no-brainer. Matt Bryant, duh. Oh. Devin Hester, duh. Eric Weems, duh. Matt Bosher as a punter, duh. And then they added in there Josh Harris, who was a very solid, he was a linebacker, but he was a very solid special teams player. Here's the bigger thing to Mike's point. How many people around the country, okay, would know half of these guys? And it speaks to the dominance of your team, but more importantly, the talent of your team. And I think that's where we're going with this. And was it a great decade? Yeah, because we went to one Super Bowl and we went, to various playoff runs. Maybe we should have gone further. We had an NFC, a couple of NFC championship games. It was a good decade. But it wasn't a great decade because you didn't have enough difference makers. And that is where I think Mike is.
Right.
And that's where I am. Grady, he's just in the midst of this. By the way, Grady just got his money. He just grabbed his bag, okay? He's not done. We'll be talking about Grady for the next 3 to 4, maybe 5 years, and really evaluating what kind of player he has been with the Falcons. This thing is really just starting with him, but he's been so good early on that you got to put him on here. And so, a lot of these other guys, as we mentioned, where are they at in their careers? Deion Jones is in the prime of his career. We know Spoon and all these other guys, retired, didn't play, True, and offered their plan for other teams. But that has been the issue. We had some really good players, but the dominant talent across the board, where you can go, man, stud, playmaker, unbelievable playmaker. We just didn't have that. We had a bunch of really good players.
Right. And the thing is, and we'll get to the story about our old former Falcon, Free, in just a sec. Remember last year when you and I had that rant and it kind of went viral when I went Legion of Meh and I kept going bananas. I was sick and tired of like the same old dudes. How we have. Go back to 2012. Croy Bierman, Parade Jerry. Now, great, that was McKay's debacle. Babineau's steady, solid if not spectacular. We talked about Abe. Akeem Dent, Steven Nicholas. It's like Legion of Meh. Dante Robinson, remember him back in the day? Asante Samuel. Willie Moe couldn't stay healthy. It's just, we've had a lot of guys, but we haven't had the guys. If you notice, when you look at the superstars, they're always on one side of the football, and that's the offense. And that's why we haven't been able to get back to the Super Bowl or win a Super Bowl.
Well, and I'll tell you this, and then we'll talk about Free. Keanu Neal, that's a big question mark. You took him in the first round, and again, he's helped you, but right now he's been more hurt than able to help you. So, if you were going to say, okay, for the next all-decade team, would his name be mentioned? Right now, no, just because of his inability to stay healthy and be on the field. All right, here's the deal with Free, guys, and it's only interesting because, listen, we like Free. We want him to do well. But when Free's agent reportedly cut ties from him, her name's Christian Campbell. She is Luther Campbell's wife, okay, of Two Live Crew. Luke, you guys know who I'm talking about. But they are terminating their relationship. And as I said earlier, when this kind of stuff happens, and they've been in Free's life for a very long time, him and Luke go way back. He's talked about Luke not only with us, but on various other publications and interviews nationwide. Why does this happen? And it happens simply because somebody is overestimating their value, Mike, and somebody's trying to talk sense into you, and you're not trying to hear it. Free has already passed up multiple deals in the NFL, and I just don't understand what's going on with him. He right now is on the brink of maybe not playing this year, and if that happens, you know what happens? You start to fade. Guys get out of the league a year, and you go, well, he'll be back. It doesn't happen that way.
Yeah, I mean, we know why we said what we wanted from this guy. We say, hey, look, bro, you got to get your cash while you can, being a middle-round pick, a fourth-rounder. He earned that contract with those 1,000-yard seasons and all those touchdowns. But I don't have to remind Falcon fans, it was a blank show. So now you got to recalibrate. What am I now? I said what I say earlier, Carl. Now you're going to be a guy, and you're going to have probably 3 football teams on your football card at the end of your career because you're not making the big money. You got to take what you can get. And if you got more, if the fact that you could get any kind of signing bonus in a multi-year deal from the Seattle Seahawks, you got to take that deal. So whether he's just getting bad advice, it's too much hubris and ego, at some point, bro, there's always somebody younger and cheaper that can replace you. That's sports. That's life.
Coming up, strong arm story of the day. We didn't look good, but what would be better? And there is real uncertainty. We'll tell you about it next.
Strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foy and Associates Personal Injury Law.
Pretty impressive performance, huh? 35 years later, we're talking about Live Aid. Craig is playing music from Live Aid that happened 35 years ago on this day, 1985. And it was one of a kind at the time, and many people still consider it to be something that we'll never see again. Although there have been many music festivals, Mike, the artistry and the folks that came together for this was pretty special.
Yeah, man, two stages, one in London, one at JFK Stadium in Philly. All the great bands coming together. I mean, you think about like Tina Turner and Mick Jagger, the Stones. Mm. Bob Dylan's playing. He breaks a guitar string. Keith Richards gives him the guitar off his shoulder to play. Duran Duran, Simon Le Bon famously not being able to hit a note, and it sounded really bad. It still plagues him to this day. And Zeppelin did it again. They got back together with Phil Collins. Phil Collins playing both concerts, flying the Concorde. It was just amazing stuff. So anyway, it was kind of cool. Craig came up with it. Yeah, we got some great audio 35 years ago today, and it was the first big, you know, concert with a – there had been other concerts to raise money for, like, relief, like Bangladesh I'd mentioned earlier, but this thing was just enormous, and it's kind of cool to hear the real Radio Gaga. You've all seen it in the movie Queen, Bohemian Rhapsody, but how good did Freddie Mercury sound there?
Oh, man, it was incredible. I mean, to relive Queen's iconic set. That's why that's Craig cool, blended right? that in. Yeah. All right, man. More of that coming up. We're going to get to our strong arm story of the day. Mike, what's the results for the poll question?
Yeah, we were asking earlier because you guys, if you had a chance on Friday, I believe the article came out where the Braves spoke with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution about, you know, what's going on since they began dialoguing with between the Cherokee and other Native American groups about, you know, what are we going to do with the branding? The Braves name, as I said, I'm just talking to a listener. I mean, Brave is a proud warrior. I don't think there's anything derogatory about the name Brave. But what about the tomahawk chop? So anyway, it's been 9 months, Carl, since Braves cards, and Helsley, the pitcher for the Cardinals, kind of had the tail wagging the dog, and the Braves freaked out and popped the tomahawks. So we said, has your opinion changed on this issue since the Braves have had a dialogue with Native American organizations? You and I have said the world is changing. Well, last year, Carl, it was basically 89 to 90% of our audience said, no, the chop's got to stay. How about this? 9 months later, 40% say, yes, it's time to move on from the chop. 59.8% say, no, it's a part of game day. So again, that's we've moved 30 percentage points, if you will, from where we were. And you guys go to Mike Bell ATL and vote. I just wonder how many people are that, you know, locked into it. And if you really want to do it, you can start start it up in your own section. But the Braves would not. Again, they haven't said they're going to move on, but they're considering options. One would be maybe to do away with the chop.
Well, and I think part of this is we're not going to change our name, but we'll do away with a chant that we find offensive or that they find offensive. We don't have as much problem with that. I think that's where they're at. This is kind of a give and take, especially by saying we're not changing the name. And that's a whole other conversation, which we've had. I'll say this again. It doesn't change my game day experience. I know there are people who say, well, what are we going to do? There'll be new cheers. There'll be new chants. We'll come up with something. And I get it. It's been tradition, and that is part of the reason why people say, oh, well, we shouldn't get rid of it, but all traditions aren't great.
Seminoles, by the way, a couple guys hit me up on the we can't read all the text, guys, in the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. I'm not sure where it stands. I know they had a vote a couple of years ago amongst the Seminole Tribe of Florida, and I believe it was 6 or 7 years ago, and they were still an overwhelming majority. It was more than 2/3 who said they liked the branding. They're cool with it because, again, the there's commerce involved with the you know, Seminole Nation, Miccosukee Indian Tribe casinos, all the stuff, the business down in Florida. Different set of circumstances here for the Braves in Atlanta.
All right, more on that. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929. Strong arm story of the day. There's two things going on, and we'll continue to talk about it. One is SEC meetings. We would have thought by 5:30 today that we would have heard something. There's nothing. And the reason I believe there's nothing, and it's not to say that we won't hear something,
right,
but I think these decisions that are being made today or things that are being said that will lead to decisions have to do with whether or not we're going to have football. Earlier today I said we are at a 50-50 chance right now that we don't do college football, and I know people don't want to hear that, but the uncertainty is real. And, you know, the smartest option right now is to keep campuses closed. Let's be honest. You've got inner, you know, action and mixing going on with student body and kids being kids. It's just, you know, think about when you're 18, 19, 20, 22, 23 in school and what was going on. And this idea like, okay, the kids will do the right thing. It's not going to happen. And then you add the element of football players and student athletes into that mix. You're asking for disaster. So that's the smart thing. I don't know if that's going to happen, Mike. So football and these Power Five schools have a big decision to make.
Well,
and the biggest is the SEC. Everybody's waiting to see what the SEC is going to say.
I spring football, you lose the eligibility of all your guys, all your star players for this fall. They're all gone. They're going to go to the NFL. So that's the big bugaboo purely from a football. I'm not talking about like personal safety. Now, the issues Carl just laid out about, you know, student body, you know, co-eds intermingling, 18 to 20-year-old kids, Kirby telling, look, wear your mask and all that stuff. Like, human nature is human nature. Okay, we've seeing the country flare. We're not. Let's be honest. We love our freedom. We're not like Europe. We don't follow orders very well, and things are where they are. Not to mention we have zero continuity from federal to state to the local level. It is what it is. I mean, that's we're paying the price. I mean, look, I want the world to reopen as much as you guys do. Seth Emerson saying that they're not expecting to make any major decisions. I will say this though, because I am a glass half full guy. Why did the Big Ten have to run and make that decision? Why did the ACC have to? You still have, you could argue, we'll start camp in September and start the season in October, and then that's probably like the point of no return. After that, then, you know, you're done. You can't do the season. We all know, Carl, you just laid it out there. There's all these different things that are making it very difficult, all the variables. But why did they have to do this now? Couldn't you have just at least, maybe you're playing for time, fiddling for time, it's a waste of time, but why couldn't we just wait a few more weeks before we have to drop the curtain on it?
Well, I think they were trying to get ahead of it, and whether you know, the timing of it was the right time. I thought by the end of the month, especially for college football, the NFL's made their decision, but pro sports is different. You're seeing that. You know, guys are getting their money, and it may not be all of it in the case of, like, Major League Baseball, but they're still making a significant amount of money. They're playing. They're professionals. This is different, and I think the Big Ten wanted to get out in front of this and say, hey, worst-case scenario, let's start preparing people. We're going to play conference games only. Oh, wow, okay. But if things get better, we can easily say, hey, the people that are on your schedule, we'll play them, we'll adjust, and, you know, we'll get back to what the schedule looked like. But we need to start dwindling this down and letting people know what this is going to look like. And, Mike, you don't wait until the last minute to do that. That's why this SEC decision is such a big deal. It's why the ACC has said, we're waiting. We're going to wait till the end of the month to try to make this decision. Guys, we're going to know a lot more, I guarantee you, in 2 weeks. By the 27th, 28th of this month, we're going to know. We're going to know where everybody stands, where these conferences are, what the schedules are going to look like, because now you're starting to make a financial commitment, Mike, to say, all right, we're moving forward with this plan, whatever that plan is going to be.
So we'll see what we get from the SEC. I do know that if you want to, again, look at it purely from, you know, hopefully everyone, knock wood, being healthy, getting through a season, the SEC based on strength of schedule. If you, and by the way, don't we all, you were off last week. I said to Will every day is, don't we all want to see one more conference game anyway? If you're a booster kicking in good money for season tickets, why do you want to see East West blah, blah, State come in and take a whooping and take their check for $600,000, right?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with this. When this came down, and you know, I was reading a book, and my phone, ding, 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 and I was like, what is going on? And they were like, conference games only, and I was like, okay. To me, that simply means that we're moving towards football, not away from it. I think some people got the wrong impression by this and said, oh, well, what's this mean? It simply means that they're trying to play. They're trying to make the best decisions to have football, and that means the best way is to be conference only. Okay, that may, again, be worst-case scenario, but in my opinion, Mike, that ain't a bad deal if you ask me.
Right. So we'll wait and see where it goes, guys. Meanwhile, again, it is totally tight-lipped. If there is a gag order, it's being enforced. Nobody has leaked anything to anybody about what the SEC athletic directors are saying in Hoover.
Yeah, and, you know, again, I'll probably talk about this for the rest of the week. I had the opportunity to talk to a few people, decision-makers in this conference. I am telling you what they told me, and it is verbatim. I don't know what to do. And when you hear decision makers at these schools saying that, Mike, it tells you they're in limbo. Mm. These are not folks who don't they don't tread lightly. These are folks who make million-dollar decisions every day, and yet they're telling me, I don't know what we're doing. That's where we're at with the SEC, and that's why 8 hours after this meeting started or whatever it did, we're not hearing anything. Hey, man, we got some guy talk on the way.
Yeah, man, got a couple more things to dive into. I was bellyaching. You were glad you missed this conversation last week, Carl. I was getting screwed by the man over some sporting events and some tickets. But I got resolution. I fought it. What did Michael Douglas say in Falling Down? I stood up for my rights as a consumer. I'll explain that one. And also, if you missed it, the greatest Cam Newton third-person sound bite ever.
All right.
It's time for fun. It's time for guy talk.
Yes. Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Yeah, buddy, back to work on a Monday. The band's back together. Crockett and Tubbs. Murtaugh. on Riggs. Oh, we're going to Psycho. It is Dukes and Bell, man, on a Monday. Squidbilly's back at the ranch, and back at his home, and Craig's back at the ranch, by the way, over in Midtown. Hope you guys had a great weekend. Keep those photos coming of Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, a lot of guys throwing some photos. Carl pairing the brew with a stogie. And, oh, by the way, while you were gone, I discovered the Perdomo Champagne 10-Year Robusto.
Good which cigar.
I love that. I mean, inexpensive. You know, it's like wine. I think sometimes guys, real quick, because we'll get to, I got some guy talk, but Carl is a you know, he's about 10 years ahead on cigars than I am. But over vacation, went to my buddy's house, got to walk in humidor, and it was crazy. Got to have that, what's that?
Big investment, huh? Big investment.
Well, he's rich. What's that picture of Chris? Well, let me rephrase that. Chris has made money in the restaurant business. He's one of my best friends ever. I post the photos are up there. But the Bahiki, the Cohiba Bahiki, I'm sucking this thing down. I'm like, oh, he's like, you want another one? I'm like, yeah. And then I get home. Oh, I'm like, holy crap, they're like $40 a stick.
Yeah. You sent a picture of that.
It's and good I, cigar,
I,
man.
I had to laugh because I was like, yeah, that's an expensive stick, dude. That's like special occasion. Your boy's just like, you want another one? I'm like,
let me give you some background. So when I worked in Bluefield, West Virginia, Chris's family, they're hillbilly Italians. They had moved to West Virginia in the 1880s. They were coal miners, and they later got some juice. But anyway, their last name is DeCibio. But Chris is a good boy, a good buddy of mine. We go boys way back. But his wife is like a former Miss North Carolina. He lives up there with all the NASCAR drivers in like Mooresville. So me and Becky roll up. I haven't seen this guy face to face in like 10 years since he got married, and so I roll up to this house. It's a freaking mansion. I mean, it's like a real NASCAR driver, like Ricky Bobby type mansion. Becky's like, holy crap. I mean, we're laughing our butts off. I mean, it really, all I was waiting for like Cal Naughton to come in. But anyway, I didn't realize how expensive those cigars were. But yeah, but he offered them up. But the point I think Carl and I make is it doesn't have to be inexpensive. You find what you like. And as you said, you put it in the humidor, the flavor enhances, the flavor changes over time.
Yeah, it does. It does. And you know, if you're able to keep them in there for an extended period of time, like I've told people, you know, I got cigars older than shoes, you know, for many people. But listen, it's all about what you like, and I always say that to people. But you're right, that particular Perdomo you had,
yeah, and it's delicious. I like it's
less than what, $10 a stick, maybe.
Yeah,
it has
yeah.
to be. I haven't had one in a while, but I know it's not super expensive. Maybe
find
six.
What you like, right?
Maybe
find
six.
What you like, find what you dig, man. But yeah, but Murphy's Law, the one I really liked, is very, very expensive. Hey, man, we've been very lucky here in Atlanta. It's just good old fashioned hot Georgia weather, man. And, you know, temperatures getting up into 90. You realize around the country, people are like melting, like exploding down the street. It was 114 degrees with the heat index down in New Orleans. Could you imagine being in New Orleans with that kind of humidity?
No, bro. You just, on I mean, Saturday. There's no sense in showering. You're just sweating all the time.
Right. Yeah, it's been bananas around the country. Southern California was nuts. Obviously, the desert's always going to be crazy. Death Valley was 127. Vegas hit 113. I just mentioned New Orleans. It was over the 100 mark in Montgomery, Alabama on some of the heat indexes. So luckily, we've been, you know, just good old-fashioned Georgia heat. You know, we're used to it. I think we're used to it over here. Hey, man, cases are dropping in New York State and New York City to the point where the Empire State Building, Carl, is going to reopen on July 20th.
Okay.
Phase 4. So they're going to finally get people back up there on the observation deck on the 86th floor. Capacity will be cut to only 80%, 500 guests at a time. We've had the mayor drop us back down to one, although a lot of people, I see restaurants in Midtown open, people are doing what they normally do. Governor, her are varying. But yeah, it's one of those things you and I talked about earlier when it comes to college football. It's just there's parts of the country which were good earlier or bad earlier. Now it's like it's all flipped.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know. Again, this is above my pay grade. You know, I'm just trying to listen to the experts and the folks who feel like they know the reasons why. But at the end of the day, Mike, this is what we talked about 2-3 months ago. And we were like, all right, you know, if it meant us having college football, and we all kind of laughed about it and we're like, yeah, and we may not now because of the mistakes that have been made, or at least, you know, the inability for us to be. And I say us as a this is a group. This is not one person, or this is not everybody. We've just been undisciplined. We have.
Look, we're Americans. I talk to my Irish cousin, like, what the hell is going on over there? I'm like, well, because we are what we are. I mean, we first off, over in Germany and other countries, it was like, you know, not to stereotype. Here is how people do this, and people all do this in unison, you know, and that's our used to that over there. But, I mean, they all stepped up in other parts of the world, and Italy, too. I mean, they hit really hard, but they all did what they had to do. We're Americans. You can't tell us what to do, and unfortunately, we're paying some of the price for it. But that's the way the cookies, like the mask thing. My God, got it. Can I go one day without seeing some viral video about somebody losing it over the mask at a store somewhere?
Yeah, I don't know, Mike. I don't know if you saw it. Maybe it was when you were out. I'm sure you did. Where the guy, I want to say he's like at a Costco,
yes,
and somebody's filming him and this dude. And I'm thinking to myself, y'all be careful, man. I mean, seriously, like you pick the right people. Okay, you picked the right one to scream at. You can't just be yelling at anybody like that. And I was thinking to myself, that's where we're at, really. Like, you feel that violated, with this whole mask thing. Either way, listen, we're all in this together. I've been saying it from day one. And if you don't believe it, well, we're all going to be penalized together as well.
Right. Well, like, as I said, I carry a mask in my pocket at the gym. You have to have a mask on you. And then it's funny today, like today over at LA Fitness in Midtown, there's moments where, okay, if you got somebody on a set next to you, we all pop the mask on. And then when you get more space, you take the mask
off. Right.
It's not, I mean, look, I don't like, nobody wants to wear a mask. And by the way, when you're my size, you start to hyperventilate wearing the mask. It's not healthy. But again, if you come up with one that doesn't have any filtering, it's really defeating the purpose. Hey, while you were on vacay, you missed one of my classic rants. And it starts off with me buying, for 1 year once, I went crazy and bought really expensive tickets for the Indy 500. I go through the different sites for tickets. You know, because sometimes
the race is canceled, right?
Right, race is canceled. I got information from Vivid Seats that the race was canceled. And then I got the information while I was on vacation that it was, I had 7 days to respond. And I missed it by literally 1 day. I got home. You know, you got like 102 zillion emails. And I read it. I had also had the, okay, I said, all right, so I missed out on that. I had the ticket insurance from Allianz, the German insurance company. You ever buy ticket protection or airline ticket protection?
Yeah, I've done that. Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's worthless. But anyway, so I used it. And then when push come to shove, I got the letter from Allianz saying that, no, sorry, dude, you're not covered by the epidemic. So you get nothing. You're like Willy Wonka. You get nothing. So I basically went off on social media, and not to take a page out of a former coworker's playbook. Who are you talking about, Cha-Cha? But I did pull, Carl, the do you know who I am?
And let me guess, you got a response.
I got a response. I mean, look, I'm not trying to be an influencer, but I got 18,000 followers. And you got, Carl's, I got over 22,000, whatever it is. I did have a lot. I had to stop and restart my Twitter, if you remember, from a few years ago with a new account. But I guess for whatever it's worth, somebody at Vivid saw my beefs and they reached out to me and I got a refund. And I got a full. So I want to just say I've been a loyal customer of those guys. That's why I was so freaked out, because I've had problems where, you know, we've missed and they've given me credits and things like that. But anyway,
Mike, I'm sorry. Did you say somebody at Vivid saw your beef?
Vivid video.
Oh, sorry,
John Chuckery was talking about Vivid Seats.
Yes,
I made a beef with video. No one at Vivid saw my. And by the way, who's going to hire a 5'7" Irish guy to make adult films, Craig? Okay, you're kind of barking up the wrong tree there.
Behind the scenes, I don't know.
Yeah, unless I'm going to be a bartender. I mean, unless it's the background scene.
Craig, you're funny, dude. I just caught that.
But anyway, thanks to Vivid. So, I mean, I hope it's the same for you guys, because in all seriousness, Carl and I say this all the time, we're blessed, knock wood, that we can spend money on frivolous stuff. And I know that guys who can't afford that and really could have used a rebate more than a credit, because a credit's useless. When are we going to be able to buy tickets to go to a sporting event? We don't even know, right?
No, we have
so
no idea.
It was good, thanks to those guys. I want to give them, because I was killing them. I want to give them praise when they do the right thing by me as a loyal customer. So there you go. So I got a full refund on my Indy 500 tickets.
Well, that's honestly a good story. That's a feel good story in an era, Mike, where there aren't that many.
But the people that lie now, Allianz reached out to me and I go, "What are you going to do? You guys are worthless. You're an insurance company. I buy this insurance and it's never worked yet. I've had 3 claims and not once have they offered to." So pound sand, Allianz, but Vivid, you're okay in my book.
Well, hey, you know what? At least you got something back. Seriously,
right on, man. Hey, so what did you play any golf while you were on vacay? It was all just checking with the family.
No. We did mountain golf. We did down there at Kiwa Island. I was telling you about where the PGA Tour Championship is going to be in 2021, which is an ocean course.
Beautiful.
It's amazing, dude. It really is. And I don't even know, you know, when you play those courses, you go like, it looks like Augusta, right? And and then you hear people go, it's not even in good shape. And you're like, what's this thing going to look like for the tournament?
Dude, I had one chance to play the ocean course. They had us out there. There's an old radio station. Brandon Leak and I play the ocean course in a driving rainstorm. There was a depression, hot tropical depression off the coast, and I was literally like the bishop in Caddyshack. I don't think the heavy stuff's coming for a while. It was like, when am I ever going to get a chance to play the ocean course again?
No, and so, yeah, man, played, and then, you know, just It wasn't the main objective. It was just more about getting away and seeing what was going on as far as a change of scenery. But did that and felt like my dad a little bit driving around, man, because we drove this particular getaway, which hasn't been the case. We drove more than we have probably in the last 5 years.
If you didn't watch the golf yesterday, golf has been getting crazy TV numbers, and it was unbelievable. Justin Thomas has got a one-stroke lead, and unfortunately, he gives it up. He hits it in the sand on 18. If you didn't see it, unbelievable as Morikawa makes the birdie to force the playoff. And the playoff, Thomas bombs this like 40-yard. If you see, it's like a 40-foot putt, and then Morikawa downhill. So they both make their birdies. It goes to a third overtime, and then Morikawa gets his second win. It was great to see. I mean, the golf was high drama. They're going to go right back.
This is the putter back, and here it comes. Now off that shelf and creeping slowly now, picking up pace, rolling down towards the hole, getting closer, and into the bottom. Unbelievable. Justin Thomas with a fist pump. He rolls in a bomb from 50 feet on the first playoff hole.
Yeah, and then Morikawa was able to keep his head right, Carl, and then make his birdie putt, which was no gimme either. But I said 40, it was 50 feet. So golf is not disappointed. They're going to be right back at Memorial. Now it is officially Jack's Tournament. That was rebranded for this last week under CBS. Hey, today is July 13th. Carl, if you got a birthday today, warp engines, engage. You share it with Sir Patrick Stewart and also Dr. Xavier, as other roles he's played.
Great actor, man.
His wife is 41, you lucky dog. He's 80 years old today.
I was going to say, he has to be. Yeah, Captain Picard. He's a very good actor, dude. Very good actor.
Cheech Marin from Cheech and Chong. I think I watched more Cheech and Chong movies than anything when I was a kid. He's 74. Erno Rubik. You know who that is?
No.
Rubik's Cube. He's from
the
Budapest.
Guy behind the Rubik's Cube? Did you ever solve the Rubik's Cube?
No, of course not.
No, me neither. Me neither.
Those idiots can do that in like 2 seconds. Ken Jeong, who has auditioned for movies and gotten him, and now he's a judge on a stupid TV show. He's 51. Remember him jumping naked out of a trunk of a car in The Hangover. Also today, get off my plane. Harrison Ford is 78. Do you want to do your favorite Harrison Ford movie for Game Winner tonight?
Well, you know, I watched over the weekend the new Tom Hanks movie on iTunes or whatever it's called now.
How was Gray Hat?
So here's the deal. It's you know, cat and mouse, right? It's based on
convoys
in the
North Atlantic and the U-boats, right?
World War II. If you're into that, it will fascinate you. If you're going, well, I'm going to watch this, and it was interesting to me because, again, being a history buff, and we talk about this all the time, Mike, I find those stories interesting, and the fact that based on a true story, amazing. Right. Like to think. This is, and I won't give it away, but this is one trip across, and they made multiple trips, and you live vicariously through what's going on. Hanks is great in it, man. This was supposed to be a big release, and obviously, you know, COVID-19 pushed it to streaming. But yeah, I think it's free. I want to say free on Apple TV or whatever it is now, but you can check it out. But I watch that to say, I say all that to say, it's either Hanks or Harrison Ford, like
right.
Their range and their movies over the years and their ability, and they're both getting up there now. It's like, I think, you know, Tom Hanks is a little bit younger than Harrison Ford, but man, Harrison Ford has had an unbelievable career.
Yeah, so you got everything, Star Wars, Indiana Jones, all the other ones. So again, he turns 78 today. Also, Michael Spinks is 64. He earned, Carl, $13.5 million for the 91-second beatdown at the hands of Mike Tyson.
I would have did that.
Cameron Crowe, the director and writer, 63. He's had a lot of great movies I like. If you have a birthday today, you share it with Julius Caesar, Carl, born on this date in 100 BC. Needless to say, he gets
how
as
many
much,
wives did he have?
I think he had two. And he only gets unlimited soup and salad bar whenever Julius is at Olive Garden. Also on this date in 1863, New York City draft riots, as portrayed in the movie Gangs of New York. Two New York references. On this date in 1977, lightning strikes a Con Ed plant north of the city. The New York City blackout that lasted for 36 hours. Looting, shenanigans, people having to walk through empty, dark subway tunnels. The Mets pulling their cars out on the infield so fans could see what's going on at the stadium. Happened on this date in 1977, and as Craig has been playing music all day on this date in 85, Live Aid at Wembley and JFK in Philly.
Hey man, coming up, new segment. It's called The Most Important Story of the Day. 620, it's on the way. Stay right there.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.